And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is my name? Wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him, and he halted upon his thigh. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're so concerned, Lord, try to doing what you would have us to do this morning, what you would have us to preach this morning, this message you've laid upon our heart. Lord, for this church, you know that we love them, we hold them dear to us. Lord, help us to say the right things, the things that be pleasing unto you, glorifying unto you, but be a help to this church. Lord, we're not trying to do anything forward or anything like that. We're just trying to be a help, trying to be an encouragement, trying to give them some direction this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you do give us. Thank you for those that are gathered here, those that might be listening. Lord, help us to take something from this that we can apply to our lives as we try to commune with you. Lord, just meet with us this morning. Thank you for the service thus far. Help us to say the things that be pleasing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want us to examine this scripture and really see what it means to wrestle with God. What it means to agonize with God in prayer. That it's not just saying a few words or an afterthought. But if the burden is great enough, prayer becomes a struggle. Knowing that God is the only one capable of doing anything about your situation. And you can't force him to answer that prayer. You can't defeat him in a battle of wills to make him answer the prayer. All you can do is hold on to him and ask. All you can do is request. All you can do is plead that he answer your prayer. Now here we see Jacob wrestling a man through the night. Now Jacob was doing well until verse 25, it says, the man prevailed not against him. That man that Jacob was wrestling against wasn't prevailing against him. Until that man touched Jacob's thigh and literally crippled him. He dislocated his hip. Showing us this struggle came at a cost. There was some personal sacrifice. Jacob had to walk with a cane the rest of his life because of this encounter. The book of Hebrews actually says he leaned upon his staff. So this had an everlasting effect upon Jacob and his life. With this disadvantage, all Jacob could do was hold on to the man until the man says, "Let me go." And Jacob, having struggled all through the night, was not going to go away empty-handed. Even though he couldn't win, he knew he couldn't win because of his leg, his hip being out of joint, Jacob asked for a blessing. Even though Jacob knew he was beaten, couldn't have it his way, he was going to gain something from this encounter. Now, there are many ways many preachers could go with this application. But again, I want to apply this to this church and its seeking of a pastor. And how this church needs to sincerely pray, to agonize with God in prayer, to get a hold of God and not let go until it receives a blessing, until it receives an answer to that prayer. Now, the unnamed man Jacob struggled with through the night was the pre-incarnate Christ. Jacob was dealing, he was wrestling, he was struggling, he was agonizing with Jesus himself this night. This is what's known in the Old Testament as a Christophany. It's basically an appearance of Christ before he was manifested in the flesh through the Virgin Mary that we've been celebrating all Christmas. This is an appearance of him in the Old Testament. We see this multiple times throughout the Old Testament. Remember when the captain of the host appeared before Joshua before he went to conquer Jericho? Joshua bowed down before him. Talk about the three Hebrew children when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Who did Nebuchadnezzar see walking around in there? The three Hebrew children and somebody else. Amen? That was Christ walking with them, being with them, appearing before them. So this wrestling match went from trying to win. Jacob went from trying to win to just trying to hang on to ultimately admitting defeat, but asking for a blessing in spite of a loss. Even though Jacob done well to begin with, he lost the wrestling match. But he did end up gaining something far greater. Jacob thought he could beat God here. But Jacob found out God's a lot more powerful than him. This trial, this match, this struggle of wills with God, it actually forced Jacob to see who he was, what he had done in his life, and to finally see that God is in control. God could have defeated Jacob at any time. God could have killed Jacob. Just one touch took his leg out of joint. But God wasn't interested in winning against Jacob. Well, what was God interested in, preacher? He was interested in Jacob's submission. In Jacob's submission and submitting to his will. And that's how a lot of wrestling matches end. It's one opponent submitting to the other by tapping out. And you can ask the professional wrestler over there that if I'm right. I don't know a whole lot of wrestling, but I know they have to tap out at some point if they're going to submit to their opponent and forfeit the match. Jacob eventually submits to Christ and taps out by asking Jesus to bless him. Through the submitting of his will, Jacob comes out a winner. His opponent, Christ, tells Jacob he has prevailed. Look at verse 28. It says, "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Jacob has lost the wrestling match, but Christ is telling him, you've actually won something far greater. Jacob didn't win. He won the greater challenge. The challenge of seeing who is ultimately in control. And he then submitted to that person, to God's will, the one who is totally in control. In demanding a blessing, Jacob admits his wrestling opponent is more superior, more powerful than himself. And that's what God is most interested in. He's not interested in who's the strongest or who has more abilities. He's interested in who will be obedient and who will submit to him and do his divine will. Remember, Jacob was one who struggled or connived with everyone his entire life. From struggling with his brother in his mother's womb, to stealing Esau's birthright, to struggling with Laban for his wife Rachel. God wanted to know if Jacob was going to continue down this path of struggling with him, of doing what Jacob wanted to do, the way Jacob wanted to do it, or if Jacob was going to turn his life over to God and submit to him and let God make the decisions. Once Jacob submits to God and lets God take control, Jacob becomes the victor because he's now in God's will. So, church, as individuals, have each of you wrestled with God over this matter? Have you agonized through the night with God? Have you come to the realization that it's God's will, not yours, that needs to be done? If you want to be blessed by God, you have to submit to God. It's not about what you want, what you think is right. It's about what God wants. It's about the man God wants in this pulpit, not you. Whose church is this anyways? Yours or God's? Who knows how things will turn out? You or God? Who is ultimately in control? You or God? Are you going to fight his will or are you going to submit to it? Whose will are you truly seeking? God speaks to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15 and says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. His heart, not your heart. His heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So you see where I'm trying to go with this? We have to realize it's not about each and every one of us. You know, we always talk about it's our church and we do this and it's our group and it's our congregation. Our, mine, I. That's pretty selfish, isn't it? When it's none of ours. Yes, we belong to it, but it's not mine. It belongs to God. And he's the one that directs it. He's the one that puts it together. He's the one that brings different individuals and helps it to grow. Right? We don't have anything to do with that. So let's take a little bit of a closer look here. Let's look at verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. The first thing we read about is Jacob was alone. He's by himself. He's alone and he's fighting in the dark. He's fighting all the way through the night until the breaking of the day. Now, is that not how some of you feel with no pastor? That you have been left alone in the dark? That you're struggling with concern, with worry? This church is going through a dark time, a dark night right now. It was unexpected, but nevertheless, it's upon you. And now I would guess, without a leader, the small groups are beginning to form within the church. One group wants to do this. The other group wants to do that. Another group is undecided. This one wants to do this, this, that, and the other. Now, if one of these groups gets big enough or powerful enough on their own, they have the power to split the church because they either get what they want and make others mad, or they don't get what they want and they get mad and then say, oh, well, I'm leaving. Where is God in any of that? God is not the author of confusion. Amen. God is the God of unity.
Amen.
Unity. One mind, one accord, one heart, one spirit, so on and so forth. So Jacob is alone in the dark, and here comes a man. Now, how this man shows up, we don't know. How they start wrestling, the Bible does not say. I don't know if this man jumped out of the dark and just tackled David or Jacob and started going at it, or if he came and had a little discussion and said, let's have a match. I don't know. It doesn't really say. But anyway, Jacob wrestles this man until the break of day. This man can represent a discouraging test. Here Jacob is. He's worried about meeting Esau, his brother, again. That's what the context is in the scripture. He's going to go meet his brother again, not knowing how Esau will respond. Will he actually welcome Jacob in, or will he try to kill him? He's not sure how Esau's going to welcome him. He's afraid he's going to tear his family apart, kill him, kill all his servants and his livestock and everything. He's not sure how Esau's going to react. So Jacob sends his family to the other side of the river at night to protect them, leaving himself alone on one side of the river in the dark. And now this man is trying to subdue him. Don't you think Jacob has had enough going on? Back behind him in the past, he's got an angry father-in-law behind him since he's taken Rachel and Leah away. And now Esau is in front of him with 400 men, comes to reports, and Jacob doesn't know what to do. And now this mysterious man shows up and is trying to subdue him. How discouraging, how stressful, how frustrating this must be to Jacob, who's been trying to solve all his problems in his own strength. But doesn't God test us when we are pressed on all sides? Doesn't he tend to show up and ask if we're going to trust him or not? Doesn't he test us to show us our limits and to show us how limitless he is? Isn't that the way life kind of is sometimes? Just one thing after another, another, another. And it seems like everything's down. And then God shows up and says, you're going to have to learn to trust me. You're going to have a little faith that I know what I'm doing in your life. That's not easy.
Amen.
It is not easy. But it's a reality. And it's really up to each and every one of us to decide, are we going to try to do it our way? Or are we going to try to do it God's way? Are we going to trust him, sit back and listen to that still small voice? Or are we just going to try to plow forward with just bull stubbornness and see what happens? You know, sometimes it just takes a little patience. Boy, we hate that. We hate waiting. And when you pray, you know there's three answers to prayer. Yes, no, wait. How long have you been waiting? A good while now, right? Waiting for an answer. Waiting for a direction. My question is, how hard have you asked for that direction? Have you really prayed and struggled with God about this? This should be a burden on each and every member's heart this morning. That it physically bothers you. You know, when I was being called to preach, it physically made me ill. You can ask Michelle. Every morning, wake up. It's on my head. On my mind. Can't escape it. Before I go to bed, it's right there. Seeing it all throughout the day. Waking up in the middle of the night. Getting up, going into the dining room, just sitting there and writing down, reading scriptures, writing, and just asking God, which direction do you want me to go? I need some specifics, God. Not just this little tug. I need some specifics. What do you want me to do? You want me to preach? You not want me to preach? I don't want to step into something that I'm not supposed to be in.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But it just kept growing and growing and growing. Couldn't escape it. Couldn't run from it. You hear preachers trying to run from it. Ran for a year. You can ask the Sunday school class that was here. That I was preaching while I was teaching anyway, so they already saw it before I did. So. But it's something that's got to, it's really going to bother you if you're really concerned, if you're really burdened about a pastor. So how burdened are you, church? Jacob is going through some discouraging times. And those trials that we may face may be discouraging, but they can help us grow and mature in our faith. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, My brethren, count it all joy. Count this as joy. Count it as a joyous time when you fall into diverse temptations, when you actually face different kinds of trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That the struggling of your faith, trying to struggle, whether you're going to depend upon God or depend upon self, it can actually mature you as a Christian if you learn to actually follow God and listen to Him. So, how do each of you feel? With no pastor, no one to really go to for direction, you all have your own personal problems to deal with, and now the church is in disarray. There's a different man in the pulpit almost every week, and it's hard to get used to one when another comes along. Now, how long will this last? When will God send someone? Will He send someone? How stressful all this must be. Church, this is a test for you. Do you get that? It's a test for you to see if you're going to be faithful, if you're going to listen, if you're going to submit, if you're going to be obedient, or if you're going to try to do it man's way. Now, what do a lot of us try to do in these situations? Well, we try to help God out by trying to solve the problem ourselves. We start pushing our opinions, what we think should be done. But the problem is, opinions are like people. Everyone's different. Everyone's different. I want to ask, how many times this church has gathered around this altar together in one accord and prayed for God to send you a man? Once? Twice? 5 times? 10 times? More or less? How are you going to pass this test if you're the ones trying to solve it instead of asking God for the solution? The more I think about it, the more I feel you shouldn't leave a service without gathering around this altar and praying with your brothers and sisters, praying for them and the church as a whole, for the man that God wants to send here. If you get nothing else from this message, that's my advice to you. That's my counsel. Get on your knees before God and ask for that man. You're looking like me, you're in stunned silence right now. You following me? You with me? Am I saying anything off and untoward? And I'll make up words if I have to. Now I realize you're probably upset and you're frustrated, really just don't know what to do, what to think, that you're sheep without a shepherd. You might be discouraged by this whole state of affairs. So what advice can I give you? Well, I say do what Jacob did. Well, what did Jacob do? Well, he prayed. The prophet Hosea actually tells us as much about this incident here, that Jacob actually prayed. Hosea chapter 12, starting at verse 3, said, "He," speaking of Jacob, "took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel," talking about Christ here in this episode. "He had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him." Jacob wept and made supplication, and that's how he prevailed. He wept and he prayed. He prayed for a need. He needed God to supply an answer. That earnest prayer for God to supply, that supplication prayer, he wept about it. He was burdened about it. He was sorrowful about it. He was broken about it. He had to get a hold of God, and because of that, he prevailed. Even though he lost the wrestling match, he still won. And that's what each of you as a church, as a whole, need to do. You must pray. You must wrestle with God over this. You must agonize over this. You must weep big, bitter tears, earnestly pleading with God over this. You have to be heartbroken over this. If you truly want God to send you a man who will preach the word, who will stand with you against the evils of this world, who will preach and teach to you and your children from God's holy word, you are going to have to sincerely pray for him. Pray for God to send him. Pray to God that he burdens that preacher's heart for this church. You're going to have to grab a hold of God and not let go. Just like Jacob done. He got a hold in that wrestling match, and no matter what happened to him, even though he was crippled, his hip was taken out of his arm, he would not let go of his opponent. He would not let go of God. Church, you've got to not let go of God in this. You've got to get a hold of him and not let go. You have to see that God is in control, no matter how much you may want to fight him because you don't like what he's showing you. You will have to see, like Jacob saw, that to prevail as a church in this, you're going to have to submit to God's will and stop trying to influence others with your own will. This is the only way you will prevail. The only way you're going to have victory in this is if you have power with God. How do you have power with God? Through prayer, with bitter tears, for God to supply that supplication prayer, the man he desires. Because do you really want God to have to touch you like he did Jacob? Look at verse 25. It says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Since Jacob would not submit to the will of God here, God showed him who was boss, who truly had the power, who was truly in control. God crippled Jacob. Does God have to do the same thing to this church? Does he have to let it rip itself apart before it submits to him and what he wants for it? I sincerely hope not. I sincerely hope not. I love this church. We've been a part of you for I don't know how many years now. The last thing I want to see is this place get ripped apart. And it can happen. And it can happen very quickly and it can happen very easily. Man, you have to be very careful about this. This is why I'm trying to encourage you to pray for the pastor God wants. Because I would hate to be the person, the man that stands in this pulpit that God didn't want. Woe to that man and woe to that church. I would hate to be the church that elected the wrong man just because of what it felt was right, what they thought was right. You better make sure it is who God wants and who God says, or he can and he will cripple this church and the man you put in this pulpit. You're dealing with spiritual lives here. So you better take it very seriously. I think you get that. I'm not talking down to you here. I know you understand that. Don't make decisions based on what you think or your gut feeling. Go by what God tells you. And you better be able to make the distinction. And I'm trying to help you, to encourage you not to fight with God over this, but to submit to him. Only then can you have victory. Only then can this church prevail and see joy in a new day. Look at verses 26 through 28. It says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. See, when Jacob submits, when he sees his opponent is greater than he is, he asks something from him. He asks for a blessing. He asks for an answered prayer. And that's the only way you will see your prayers answered, is if you truly ask for an answer, for God's answer, and be willing to submit to God's will. To submit to the one who is greater than yourself. Because what does Christ say to Jacob? In the last part of verse 28, it says, for as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Because Jacob would not let go. Because Jacob was willing to submit that and admit that he was the one who was weaker. And admit that this man he was wrestling was greater than him. Christ tells him, you have power with God and with men. Church, you want to have power with God and with men, the people in this community that you'd like to see saved, that you'd like to see receive the gospel, family members that you know that are lost that need to be saved. You want to have power with God and power of men, you've got to submit yourself to God first. You've got to be in his will. You've got to be in the right place that he wants you. You want to be considered to have power with God and with men and actually have the victory? You've got to let God fight that fight. Stop fighting him. Prayer is power with God, and that's how Jacob prevailed. You know, prayer is how we move the hands of God upon this planet. That's how we communicate with God, right? That's how you touch God's heart. That's how you tell him your deepest desires and concerns and your worries, and you basically give your burdens over to him, because we're not supposed to be worried. So we'll call it concerned. We'll do one or the other. We're not supposed to be worrying Christians. We're supposed to be trusting Christians. But it's human to worry. And I know a lot of you are worried about this, seeing what direction the church is taking, what it might do, all these questions. But you've got to have some power with God. You've got to come to him humbly, yet boldly in prayer, and ask for that answer. And then you have to be willing to submit to the answer he gives you. Just because he may give you an answer you don't like. Well, that doesn't matter. It's not about you, right? You've got to go with what God wants. If you're praying for him to answer that prayer, God, send us a pastor. He shows you the pastor. I don't like him. I don't like listening to him. I don't want to do it. Well, you just got your answer. Just because you're not happy with it doesn't mean it's wrong. All right, I'll try to hurry up here. Almost done. You know, when a preacher says that, you're in trouble. All right. Jacob was not one to give up easily. And I hope, church, you're not giving up that easily. I hope some of you don't have the attitude of just let the pulpit committee deal with it. Let the deacons deal with it. They'll find somebody, and I'll leave it at that, and I'll just go with whatever they decide. It don't work that way. They're here to kind of help guide, help serve. They don't make the decisions, right? They're not here to dictate. It's a struggle to be on that little committee trying to seek God's will, and I hate to say this, and trying to make everybody happy at the same time. You're not going to do it. You can't do both. Trust me, as a preacher, as a pastor before, you can't please God and please men at the same time. So just because you may not be happy about something, be happy about a decision, don't tear them apart. They're just trying to do their best. They're fallible just like anybody else. And if you think you can do it, why don't you just step in and just help out? Yeah, I don't see any volunteers right now. It's not easy. Because when God doesn't just show up and speak in an audible voice, choose this man, it's difficult to sense his will. And everybody's, really, you can think all you want, but you need to ask God, put that man on my heart. Put that person, whether it's the one I want or whether it's the one I don't want. Am I right? So, church, have you really prayed to God? Or have you just mentioned this in passing prayer? Have you agonized over this? Have you wrestled with God over this consistently, pleading with him to bless this church, to answer your prayer with his answer and not your answer? You know, Jesus himself knows how to do this. He knows how to agonize with God in prayer. He agonized with God in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me just read a few verses here in the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 14. It says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy." This is Jesus being very heavy, be sore and amazed. "And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Are you burdened for your pastor like Jesus was burdened about what was going to happen to him? The scripture says he became very heavy. He was truly burdened with all of this upon his mind and his heart. Jesus even says he was sorrowful unto death. The book of Luke says during these prayers, Jesus' sweat became as great drops of blood. That's a medical condition known as hematidrosis, which happens during times of intense emotional agony or extreme physical stress. What happens is the capillary blood vessels dilate and they burst, allowing blood to mix with the sweat, and it looks like you're sweating blood. So how stressed are you for your church, for a pastor? Have you really struggled with God over this? Have you submitted your will to His? Have you really sought the face of God in seeking a pastor? To where it physically, emotionally, mentally affects you. Because if it doesn't, how truly concerned are you? Verses 30 and 31 says, "And Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him and he halted upon his thigh." Jacob actually got to see the face of God and lived here. He got a hold of God, got to see God, and was blessed by God, all because he gave in to God. And then we see three new things for Jacob. He gets a new name, there's a new day, and he has a new kind of walk. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which suitably means to struggle. Jacob's dark night alone was over, and now the sun rose up, beginning a new day. And now Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life as a reminder of his struggling with God. But the best part is, Jacob's life was preserved. The church's life can be preserved if it seeks God's face in prayer. So have you sought God's face in this? Have you prayed a fervent, sincere prayer? Have you gotten a hold of God and not let go? James 5 and 16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." There's a lot of response to a sincere, righteous person praying to God, seeking truly His will and not our own. You know, we can't beat up God and take His lunch money. We can't force God to answer our prayers the way we'd like them to be answered. We have to struggle with Him in prayer, and in that we're actually struggling with ourselves, trying to overcome that flesh with the Spirit and allow ourselves to be obedient to God and submit to Him. And in that struggle, that's where we come to our ends, where we can see our limitations and see that God is truly the one who's in control, and only through submitting to Him can we receive the power, the strength to prevail, to achieve victory, to have power with God and with men, not by defeating Him, but by seeing truly who He is. For us to truly struggle with God over a burden, we need to get alone and pray to God with tears and sincerity. We have to get a hold of God and not let go. Ask for a blessing, to make supplication for an answer to our prayer. In doing so, we must see we have no control over the matter. Only God does. God is the only one powerful enough to supply our need. And when we come to that realization and can submit our will to His and begin to pray not for what we want but for what God wants, that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then and only then can we be the victors. Only then can we prevail. So I say all that to say this. Church, I ask you one last time. Have you prayed? Or have you really prayed? Because that's what it's going to take. You want God to show you the man? You're going to have to get on your knees and beg God to give you that man. To put him upon your heart. To burden him. Burden him, burden his family, burden everything about him, that he gets so focused on this church, that's all he can think about. Church, that's the only thing you need to be thinking about. You need someone in this pulpit. You need a leader. That's why God calls preachers into the pastor, so they can lead the church. See, Jacob leaned upon the staff. There was a sacrifice made. Church, you got a little sacrifice, a little bit of pride, a little bit of self, a little bit of self-desires. And self wants. Put that aside and truly see what God wants. I know this may be scattered. It may be a little bit all over the place. I hope you get the gist of it. I hope you see that I'm trying to help. I'm not campaigning. I want God to put who He wants in there. Amen. You know me better than that. Let's come to our feet. I'm going to ask for every eye to be closed.